then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Let's pray, and we're going to explore these verses and what Jesus is talking about together today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship. And worship comes in many different shapes and forms and in ways. And Lord, it is our privilege and pleasure to come before you, to learn about you, to sing about you, to pray to you. So Lord, as we open up your word and we explore this topic of genuine childlike faith, this is not a topic that is for some people. This is a topic for all people. Genuine faith in you is the single most significant thing that we can have in life. So Lord, I pray that we would not just hear what Jesus has to say, but we would understand and apply it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we look at what Jesus is talking about in this passage, let me start by a simple question. What happened that sparks Jesus' teaching to his disciples? There's actually an event that takes place right before Jesus brings the child over that leads to Jesus talking about this topic. Did anybody catch what it was? If you're not sure, look at verse 1. Anybody see it? Yeah, if you look at verse 1, look what it says. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Here's Jesus teaching about faith and trusting and putting their hope in him. And here are Jesus' disciples. They're off having a conversation about which one of them is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. While Jesus was trying to reach the crowds and his disciples about faith and prepare them for his coming death and resurrection, his disciples were fighting over their place in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Jesus was teaching one thing, and the disciples were focused on something else, right? Sounds familiar, right? Sometimes God is trying to teach us one thing, and we want to be focused on our own thing. The Gospel of Mark gives us even more detail about their argument. Check this out. In Mark chapter 9, verses 33 and 34, we read this. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, Jesus asked them, What were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. So here Jesus openly confronts them. He's like, hey, what were you guys talking about on the road? As if Jesus wasn't already aware. He says, what were you guys talking about? And what did they answer? They didn't. Why? Because they knew they shouldn't have been arguing about that, right? They knew full well that not only was what they were doing wrong, they knew their motivations were wrong. The disciples themselves knew that they did not have their hearts on the things that Christ wanted them to have them on. And we see that this was a continual issue for this group of followers. And Jesus could clearly see that even his own disciples were putting their faith in themselves and worldly goals and not him. So it's in light of this, Jesus sees what is happening right in front of him. And because of that, this is why he launches into this sermon. And what does he do to begin the sermon? He brings this child, and it says that the child stood among them. And Jesus says, unless your faith is like one of these, you're going to miss out on the kingdom of heaven. So let's ask the first question that we should ask. What is childlike faith? What is it that Jesus wanted his disciples to see? Not who was the greatest, but he wanted them to see what genuine faith looked like. Well, before we dive into the topic of faith, let's look at a few terms that Jesus uses in these verses. He uses this child as an illustration of what real, genuine faith is. So let's look at a couple of things. The word for child that we find here in the Greek is the word paideon, and it's actually talking about a very young child, either an infant or a young toddler. In other words, a child that is in need of love in order to survive. This is not like some 18-year-old running around. The idea here is a very young child that is still dependent upon its family. He also uses the term kingdom of heaven, and this is a term that he uses a great deal in the book of Matthew. And he's not just talking about heaven. He's actually, when every time that Jesus references kingdom of heaven in the book of Matthew, he's talking about having a relationship with him that leads to everlasting life. And one other interesting term that he uses here that definitely would have caught the attention of the people of his time was he said that they needed to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, we may take that for granted, but for the people of Jesus' time, they didn't. Jesus' disciples were Jewish, and they believed that they would enter the kingdom of heaven simply because they were Jewish. In fact, the religious leaders often balked with Jesus and his teaching because Jesus told them that they had to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And many of the religious leaders and most Jews in Jesus' time believed they were going to heaven simply because they were descendants of Abraham. But the fact is that that's not what was taught in the Old Testament, and it's certainly not what was taught in the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we read this: "For he," Jesus, "has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." The Bible is abundantly clear. We don't get saved because we're of a certain ethnicity. You're not going to get saved because you showed up here at church today. You're not going to get saved because the people in your family who came before you were saved. You are saved because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many today still believe that eternal life is something that everyone eventually finds. That somehow you put your faith in something and you'll find your way to the right place. But let me be honest with you, friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. John 14:6 says this: "Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I don't know how Jesus could be more plain and specific than that. So when we put all these things together, what is Jesus saying in this passage? Well, it's this: that salvation is found in him, and it's found through faith. Little children don't count on their knowledge or their effort to be loved by their family. They simply believe that their family will love them. The same is true for us. I'm not trying to win God's love through preaching a good sermon today. I would like to preach a good sermon today, but that's not. I'm not basing my salvation on it. I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven or do good to get to heaven. No, I know that the only way I get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Little children simply believe that God will do what he has said that he will do. And we're called to have faith that looks like that. Well, what has God said he will do? What exactly are we putting our faith in? Well, in Titus 2:11, we read this: "For the grace of God appeared that offers salvation to all people." Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins, and that is an offer that is made to all people. And when we have genuine faith, we believe that his offer is valid to us. In Ephesians 2:4-5, we read this: "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." In other words, we don't get there because of our works. We don't get there because of our good deeds. We don't get there because we've been in church for 27 straight Sundays. No, we get there through Jesus, and we trust Jesus to keep his word. Simply put, Jesus was telling his disciples, who were busy arguing about their place in the kingdom of God, that they must realize that it's not by their works, it wasn't by their righteousness, it wasn't by their Jewishness that they entered the kingdom of heaven. It was by coming helplessly to him, understanding that he is the only one that provides that path. So if we understand what childlike faith is, the second and most important question is, how do we have childlike faith? It's great to know things, but if they don't make it down here, they're not worth very much, are they? We can have all kinds of knowledge, but if it doesn't make the journey down to the way we live, it's just a bunch of stuff in our head. Well, how do we have childlike faith? Well, the Bible is very specific about this. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible spells out for us what childlike faith looks like. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." This passage gives two powerful truths about having a saving relationship with Jesus. The first is this: we need to believe in Jesus. It is impossible to have saving faith that does not include a genuine belief in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation begins with a belief that Jesus is who he said he is, that he did what he said he did, and that he rose again and provided for our sin problem. That being said, it doesn't mean that we are simply hoping that Jesus is who he said he is, but we have many throughout history who have given testimony to the life and to the works of Jesus Christ. We may believe, the Bible tells us that we need to believe in Jesus, but that belief doesn't just have to be based on nothing. Belief, and most of the beliefs that we have in life, are based on real things. In fact, when John finished writing his gospel, he wrote the very reason that he wrote his gospel was that so we could believe through faith. Listen to what he says in John 20, verses 30 and 31. He says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John says, listen, I'm not writing these things just to give you an account. I want you to know that there were eyewitnesses who saw Jesus Christ, who saw what he did, and heard what he said. And you know what those eyewitnesses did with their life after they were done spending time with Jesus? They go back to work? No, the only work they did is they went and they shared about Jesus Christ to the point that each and every one of them would eventually give their lives for that purpose. They saw it firsthand, and it so moved and so changed their lives that they never went back. Their belief wasn't just some vain hope that Jesus was who he said he is. They saw him firsthand, and it changed everything in their lives. C.S. Lewis said this about belief: "Believing things on authority only means believing them because you've been told by someone you think is trustworthy. 99% of the things you believe are believed on authority. I believe there's such a place as New York. I've never been to New York, but I believe it because reasonable people have told me so. The ordinary person believes in the solar system, atoms, the circulation of blood on authority because trustworthy people say so. Every historical statement is believed on authority. None of us have seen the Norman conquest or the defeat of the Spanish Armada, but we believe them because people who did see them left writings that tell us about them and are, in fact, on authority. A person who balks at authority in other things, as some do when it comes to Christianity, would have to be content not really ever knowing anything in life. See, we don't believe in Jesus blindly. We believe because we have historical proof. We have hundreds of eyewitnesses. We have the testimony of a faithful God. But belief alone is not enough. Why? Well, the Bible tells us, does Satan believe that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected? You better believe he does. In fact, the Bible tells us that the demons know and believe in Jesus Christ. Does that mean that they have saving faith? Of course it doesn't. And that's why in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that we must also confess that Jesus is Lord. It's not enough for us to simply know about Jesus. It is childlike obedience that brings us to salvation. And that's an idea that we find all throughout the Bible. John 14, 15, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this, "If you love me, keep my commands." Genuine faith is accompanied by genuine obedience. If I say that Jesus is who he says he is, guess what? This changes everything in our lives. If he really is the King of Kings who came down and clothed himself in human flesh and died for our sins, guess what? He deserves our obedience and our allegiance. 1 John 5, 3 says this, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." Calling on Jesus as our Lord is more about believing in what Jesus has done. To believe in the existence of God, well, many have done that. To believe in the existence of Jesus, well, guess what? Even our enemy does that. The difference is those who believe in Jesus also put their trust in what he says. This is saving faith. It is faith that moves and changes the way we live. It's no wonder that the Bible tells us in Christ we're new creations. The old passes away. It's not just, oh, I added some intellectual knowledge to my life. No, my life has changed because that intellectual knowledge led to genuine movement in my life. This is the childlike faith that Jesus was desperately trying to get his disciples to live. Not just to know he was Jesus, but to live out that truth. To live a life of faith in their lives. When Jesus is our Lord, when we go beyond just knowing details about Jesus, when Jesus is the Lord of our lives, nothing in our lives should be off limits to him. Every part of our life becomes part in which he walks with us. Many years ago, there was a great circus performer by the name of Blondin. And one of his most famous acts that many people witnessed, he stretched a long steel cable across Niagara Falls. During the week in which he performed at Niagara Falls, there were high winds, and he performed all of these tricks with no safety net. He walked across the tightrope. He ran across the tightrope. He danced across the tightrope to the amazement and delight of the large crowd of people who were watching. But Blondin wasn't done amazing his crowd. He decided that he was going to up the ante. So one day he arrived at the falls with a wheelbarrow. He loaded it up with bricks and started off across Niagara Falls. He went across. He turned around and came back. He went across a second time, but this time he jogged with a wheelbarrow loaded full of bricks. And then he came back. The crowd was amazed. They were stunned. They cheered and clapped. Blondin stopped them. He asked them a question. He says, how many of you believe that I can do this with a person in my wheelbarrow? The crowd erupted. Of course you can. We saw you bricks. We've seen you run. We've seen you dance. We've seen you do all these things. Of course you can. So Blondin asked them a second question. Do I have a volunteer? Stephen, come here for a minute. You want to go for a ride? There was silence. I'm not taking you across Niagara Falls. There was silence by the crowd. And then finally, one brave man raised his hand. He said, I will volunteer to go across Niagara Falls. Look at that. Didn't even hit your knee, Brent. And so they did. Back and forth, they went. The man jumped out. He gave Blondin a hug and went back among the crowd. Thank you, Stephen. Did we do all right? You can give me a hug. Yeah. What's the point of that story? Faith isn't just about believing that there's a wheelbarrow. Faith isn't just about believing that there's a man who can walk across a tightrope over a giant fall and not fall. Genuine faith, childlike faith, is being able and being willing to get in the wheelbarrow. Followers of Jesus Christ aren't just called to know who Jesus Christ is. Not just be able to articulate why they're saved. They're called to get in with Jesus Christ. To have real relationship. Real connection. To be a genuine part of what God is doing in our community and in our world and in our lives. We're not just there watching. We're supposed to get behind the wheel and be a part of what God has called us to do. This is real faith. This is the faith that Jesus wanted from his disciples, and the same faith that we're called to have today. Faith that is engaged and involved. A faith that goes from knowledge to action. That changes the way we see our world, changes the way that we see the people that are in our world. This is what childlike faith looks like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word today and to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And the message that he gave those disciples many years ago is not any different than the message that he gives us today. When we know who you are and when we call on you as the Lord of our lives, it changes us. We don't go back to just being what we were before. Because when we find the treasure, we invest everything we have into it. When we find the pearl of great worth, we go and sell everything else and we buy it. When we find the answer, it changes all the questions. Lord, if there's anyone here today who is sitting here and has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible is abundantly clear on how we do this. It says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. It includes an intellectual understanding of who Jesus is, his life and death and resurrection. But it also includes obedience, putting genuine faith and trust in him. And if there's anyone here who's never made that step of faith in their lives, I pray that they would do so. It is a gift that has been offered to all people. But like any gift, we have to receive it for ourselves. I can't choose it for anyone. No one can choose it for anyone else. We have to call on you as our Lord and Savior. So I pray if there's anyone who's never had the opportunity to do that, that they would do so today. Lord, we ask all these things in your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.